Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The government has announced a nationwide ban on visits to homes, or gardens, by the way, in almost all circumstances, except for providing care to children or elderly and vulnerable people or on compassionate grounds. They also clarified today that if you're a plumber or electrician or somebody that provides a valuable service, you can also enter somebody's house. It didn't go down too well. That's all I'll say today. It didn't go down too well at all. Essentially, they have denied people having friends anymore, apart from on the telephone. or they've denied people having family. And maybe it's a step too far for a lot of people. And I was listening to people today in media saying they lived alone, for example. And we spoke to some people today as well who said they lived alone. What are they supposed to do? Just be isolated? Be miserable? Be unhappy? Have mental health problems? Have the government really considered what they're doing to people? At this point, I don't believe they have. I think it's despicable. I think there has to be another way of dealing with this issue. Other ways, and I understand, by the way, case numbers are a little bit high at the moment. The government has announced this. It also announced that Cavan, Monaghan and Donegal will move to level 4 of the government's Living with COVID plan, which at this stage is a complete and utter mess, because it's not just a 4 or 5 point plan anymore. It's a, you know, 5.1, 4.1, 3.2. They add bits and pieces in. And not only that, then, the not visiting anybody's home at all is something that's not actually in that part of the plan, but they've added it in. And then today they've announced that, well, there's a, people are asking that they introduce bubbles, like in New Zealand or the UK, whereby, you know, you can say that 6 people are in your bubble or 5 people are in your bubble, and you can nominate those people and visit those people, provided they're within your bubble. There's a lot of terminology being used, isn't there, over the last few months. The bubble thing originally came from the UK, I think. Boris Johnson brought that in. And at this stage, you know, it is all getting a bit too much for people. Micheál Martin said, I know how difficult this is for everyone. I don't think he really does know how difficult it is for everybody. Because with the greatest respect to Micheál Martin, he's not going to lose his job. You know? But he says, I know how difficult this is for everyone, and I understand the deep frustration people feel. You don't understand, Micheál. Reading some of the comments online about these restrictions, one person said, there's a presumption in these new household visiting restrictions that everyone lives with their family or a family group or with others. These restrictions are not fair on single people or those who live alone. Like somebody rang this morning, or I was listening to News Talk this morning, and Stephen Donnelly, who won't come on to this show, was on for questions, and somebody had asked him a question about, my son is in college and lives in Diggs in Galway. Can he come home to his mum and dad at the weekend? And they went, well, no, they can't. That's not compassionate. That doesn't come under extreme circumstances. Somebody else mentioned they needed access to their children during divorce and separation. That maybe comes under. Yeah, somebody else had to visit an elderly person who was sick and deaf who couldn't hear the phone. Yes, he said, that might come under it. Who has the right? And I understand the guidelines, and everybody should follow the guidelines. And yes, at the moment, that's all we have is the guidelines. But who has the right? Be they government, be they police, be they customs, be they anybody. Who has the right to tell a mother she can't see her son? Who has the right to tell a daughter she can't visit her own mother? Now, if it's dangerous and that mother has serious underlying conditions, that's a decision they must make themselves. And a risk they must take themselves. Not advisable, but certainly something that they must consent to themselves. But who has a right to do that now? Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think that before COVID-19 came along, that any government or Taoiseach or president of this country would turn around and tell you, you're not allowed to see your own son or daughter. You're not allowed to see your brother, your sister, your mother or your father. You're not allowed to see them until we decide you can. And for the next month, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to see them. Did you ever think in your wildest of dreams that would even be a runner? No matter how much of an emergency the country was in times of war, we wouldn't have had a decision like that. And at this stage, the rules and regulations and guidelines have become so confusing that people don't even know anymore what they're doing. They're so confusing now. People actually don't know anymore. Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? They don't know. But I want to know what you make of these restrictions. By the way, I mentioned there was 1,205 COVID cases, which were confirmed this evening, and it's the highest daily figure since the start of the pandemic. So clearly, something needs to be done. But is household bans the answer? Something needs to be done. There's no doubt about that. There are many different strategies out there now being talked about. Well, when I say talked about, anybody who talks about any different strategy apart from the government will clearly be cancelled. Because that seems to be the case all around the world at the moment. And I'm sure many of you may be talking about the article in the Irish Times today. And I've seen some silly comments online. How dare the Irish Times take this advertisement? This is the advertisement, by the way, in relation to the Barrington Declaration. Which, if you read the Barrington Declaration, it's very much focused on protecting those who are vulnerable, but allowing everybody else to get on with their lives, based on what they call the herd immunity theory. Now, whether you agree with it or not, and that's open for discussion, it's written by very qualified people. People who are immunologists, virologists, professors at Stanford and Harvard and Oxford and every other college that we hear other experts talking about on RTE or News Talk or TV3 on a daily basis. And here too, we had a lot of them on at the start, but they stopped coming on to the show because I wouldn't agree with them. I wouldn't always agree with them. I agreed with some of the stuff they said, but I didn't because I challenged them and challenged their opinion and challenged their view. And I challenged them from a societal point of view, not from an expert point of view, because I'm not an immunologist, I'm not a virologist, but I do know human behaviour. And I understand human behaviour like everybody else. And we understand how people can feel lonely and mental health can damage people's lives. And the idea that people would complain about an article like this in the Irish Times is quite ridiculous, because then we're closing down debate. That's what we did in the old days, wasn't it? We had debate. We decided we'd listen to this expert, we'd listen to that expert, and then we'd make our mind up who we believed had the best bits. Or we'd take the best bits from both experts, put it together and come up with a reasonable plan. That was the way we used to do things in society. Not anymore. The way we do things now is the government says so, and that's what you do. And anybody who says any different, they'll lose their job. They'll be asked to leave. They'll be asked to resign. What's going to happen to the Irish Times? Will they get a slap on the hand now for taking this advertisement? We'll talk about that shortly too. But getting back to this, I mean, there's guidelines, there was a plan, there was level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From the very word go, they messed that one up by bringing in level 3.5, 3.2, 3.7, 4.1. And now we're adding other bits onto it, like not only can you not have visitors to your home, you can't have anybody to your home. Nobody. Except in extenuating circumstances for compassionate reasons. And I'm asking you, do you agree with it? Some people will say, yes, I do agree with it, Niall. How dare you? We need to rid this virus from society. And if this is the way to do it, I don't care if Johnny can't see his mother. This is the way to do it. Let me know what you think. And the number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Good idea, Billy, by the way. Never thought of that one. I'll do it in a few minutes. That's 087-188-0008 is the WhatsApp or text number. Will you be complying over the next 4 weeks? And I, by the way, as a broadcaster, I encourage you to comply with the guidelines. But will you be, or can you comply? Are you living alone? Do you need to go and see somebody? Is it important that you visit somebody over the next 4 weeks? In your county, by the way. Let me know. The number's 087-188-0008. Oliver, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Oliver?
Good evening, Niall, and everyone at the show and listeners. It's actually brilliant to be on, finally. And you're a great service for people to vent.
Oh, thanks very much. Well, I like to let people have their opinions. I think it's fair that we have our opinions, yeah, and we're absolutely not silenced.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to get a couple of things. I just think the government are playing whack-a-mole with the virus in general, and this is just another mole that they're trying to whack. And we all know that parties are just not ideal, or people are just taking the piss, basically.
Yeah, well, people are blatantly acting the fool.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. But does that mean then that I know people, and I probably echo a lot of what you said, but people living alone, for example, they just have to stay at home. And there's not even a time put on this. It was just, there's a ban on homes. It's despotism.
Well, I think 4 weeks was the suggestion, isn't it?
Okay, they have given that.
But, right. But mind you, as Leo Varadkar rightly said the other night, when it comes to NPHET, in 4 weeks, if the numbers, and by the way, they said the reason for this is the spread. When you look at, say, the numbers over the last week, I think like 1,700 or whatever it is, something around that, were cases that originated in the family home, which is the highest amount. Like restaurants and bars was only like 10 people or 11 people.
Yeah.
So this was the highest number.
Yeah.
But that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because most people congregate and, you know, sons, daughters, families congregate in the family home and have the most amount of exposure to each other. So that's obvious that was going to happen.
Absolutely. But the fact that you can't go and visit your dad or visit your cousin or visit your... I live on an estate and there are several people living alone and they're depending on people to go shop for them, etc. But they'd like company. And I work for a large retailer as a delivery driver. And there's just... Since the lockdown, I've seen elderly people just coming out the front door to just talk about the most mundane stuff, just
have company,
to see someone.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know how the postmen and women are getting around because they're just being plagued by really lonely people. And what I'd like to say that about Niall, without getting away from your question, is we had a very controversial referendum here last year, and on both sides of that referendum, it was extremely important that we had healthcare, psychiatric professionals talking about people's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have they all been put under a rock and all that they've been put away for further use? Where are they? Where is Ireland's psychiatrists? Where mental health is an all-time low. Everyone is apathetic that I'm speaking to. I'm meeting customers and they just don't care. They're despondent. I'd say 1 in 10 of them have kind of see any hope for the future. Everybody is just sick of this. And, you know...
Like, I did hear a shocking figure actually from the UK there during the week on Sky News that 1 in every 4 teenagers had contemplated suicide over the last 5 months, which is quite a shocking figure, by the way.
Yeah, and then there's even more probably that are not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people are just putting on a brave face, and we have rising alcohol, substance abuse. And you know what David Nabarro said today, the special envoy on COVID-19 from the World Health Organization, right? He said that it's going to double child malnutrition, the economic knock-on of lockdowns. He said lockdowns are nationalistic and they're protectionist. And
he said they shouldn't be used as a primary source of stopping an infection, yes.
He said we did think that at first, but the WHO... have U-turned on lockdowns. Now, in March, we were told that we had to follow the WHO, mm-hmm. and these are the professionals, and these know what they're talking about, which is true. But now...
We're not following them. We're gone rogue
so
now.
So, we're cherry-picking.
We do seem to have gone rogue a little bit now at this stage.
Yeah, we're just cherry-picking. Whoever suits whatever at the minute. And we're just fannying around. There's no leadership.
Okay,
there's
but
no
I mean,
fan.
No matter whether...
Reactionary.
I mean, the whole idea, according to the government, is to flatten the curve. Wasn't that always the statement?
That's right.
Yeah, to take the pressure off the hospitals, etc., etc. Now, nobody disagrees with the idea that, mind you, the only reason we will have pressure on hospitals is because we have an incompetent health service for the last 30 years, right? But that's neither here nor there for the moment. But that's what it is, and we're stuck with it for the moment. Mind you, they've had 7 or 8 months to do something about that, and they haven't done it. But that's their problem. But so we were told to flatten the curve, but we seem to be going for some sort of zero COVID kind of strategy now, which, according to most experts in the world,
impossible.
Is a fantasy idea and an utter nonsense. Because realistically, as somebody said the other night on the TV, right, so for 4 weeks we don't visit each other, we don't see anybody, we're all miserable. And then in 4 weeks' time, Neff would say, that's grand. You know, he's going to go back to meeting each other there again now. And the case numbers, let's say, go up. I don't believe they'll go down in the first place, but they go back up again, right?
Yeah.
And so what then? What's next? Do we do another one? Is it Christmas on your own then? I mean, what next?
Yeah, what's going on? There's no continuous.
No.
There's no continuous. There's just nothing. There's just apathy amongst people and just, to be honest, just brain dead lack of leadership in government. And another thing is the Barrington Declaration, right? So, again, we were told we have to listen to expertise, and here's expertise, probably the finest medical minds in the world, advising that herd immunity is the best possible way out of this, and that's just been poo-pooed by people with no expertise whatsoever.
I mean, the Barrington Declaration, for people who don't know about it, it's a declaration. Basically, three of the best scientists in the UK and America and Sweden, I think one of them is from, came together and come up with this declaration, which has been signed now by thousands of medics, professionals and doctors around the world, as well as thousands of citizens as well. And the plan is basically to focus protection on vulnerable and elderly people, which we didn't do from the start, and to allow everybody else who is in the non-risk, when I say no-risk category, a much lower risk category, because everybody has those, there's a slight risk for everybody. But if we look at the obvious, under 20 years of age, you have more of a chance of dying from influenza than you have of COVID-19, because that's just the way COVID-19 works. It targets particular groups. And they're saying they want to try and build up what they call a herd immunity.
They're not being entertained.
No, it's not being entertained. Now, by the way, I don't know, have they thought it fully true, et cetera, et cetera. But at least let's talk about it. Let's say, okay, we agree with that, but this part here could be dodgy. Can we bring some other expert in here to talk to us, maybe an economics professor, to talk about this aspect of it and this aspect of it, and somebody who deals with the aged to talk about this aspect of it? So at least we'd all come around a table and come to some sort of agreement that would benefit society, but we're not doing that.
Yeah, it's like having a colander and just putting some insulating tape over two holes in it and then pretending that the water's not going to get through. Mm-hmm. We're only focusing on COVID, and then the whole world is collapsing all around us. The global economy is in a coma, and the Caribbean and the Pacific is just destroyed economically. Mm-hmm.
Because they depend on tourism, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're dependent on us, and there's other parts of the world like that are just dependent on trade.
Oh, we're going to have at least 10 or 20 more third world countries by the end of this.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, if there's ever an end to this, because it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight. But in relation to the guidelines, and obviously as a broadcaster, I have an obligation to tell everybody to follow those guidelines. The guidelines are there for a reason, according to the government.
Of course.
But will you be abiding by the guideline and not visiting anybody's house or having nobody visiting your house? And I mean nobody, not one.
I don't know how to honestly answer that, right? But I won't go out of the way to go and visit people. I won't, just for the sake of it, because I think that's just immature.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd find it really difficult now. You see, it's easy to start off like today. This is the first night. But if I was living on my own, say, and I'm here, okay, it's 4 days since I've seen anyone. And maybe you're unemployed, I don't know.
Yep.
Could be in all sorts. Maybe you've just broken up in a relationship and you want to go and see one of your mates.
Or you're feeling down, you want to go and talk to somebody. You don't want to just talk on the phone, yeah.
You just want to hear another voice. And why do we have venues? Why do we have huge sporting venues? Why do we have even churches? Why do we have all? Because people like to gather together. That's just human nature.
Yeah, and by the way, like everybody else, at the start of this, when we were very concerned, I understood why that was all stopped. And we all understood why all that was stopped. Yeah. But we've got to a point now where we have so much data collected now that maybe we can strategically plan this a lot better and target our efforts a little bit better on vulnerable people.
Yeah. And I can't figure out. I don't know whether, are people just afraid and they're just going with the flow? But do you know what's really the real concern here is what state do we live in right now? Because under the Constitution, you have the right to travel, you have the right to work in the state, and there's just those two points, right? But we know that for a lot of people now, their right to work in the state has just been taken away by the government.
Well, I know the government will quote that also in the Constitution. It does give wiggle room as well for emergency legislation or emergency public health legislation, which was brought in, by the way, because we had TB back in the 1930s.
Okay.
It was brought in to give the guards the power back in the 1930s to remove somebody from the street and put them into isolation if they had symptoms of TB. So if somebody was coughing and farting on the streets, they could take them off and bring them off of Cherry Orchard Hospital.
Can't be doing that.
Yeah, but it never, I don't think we ever predicted that legislation would give Gardaí or the government or the state the power to remove healthy people. And or test healthy people or tell healthy people what to do. Okay, but stay there for a second. And that's probably why a lot of the stuff that you're hearing is guidelines and not legislation. Tom, you're on Classic Kids. Tom, there's no doubt people are worried. There's no doubt the government feels they need to be doing something more. But was this the answer to stop not even one person into your home?
I don't think they mean it literally. I mean,
they do mean it literally.
I know, but I mean, they're not going to go around, and if you're visiting your parents or your elderly parents, which I actually have, but they're not going to be knocking at doors. I think they just want to, like, look, it's still, everyone's green to the whole thing, and look, you can't expect the government to do nothing. They have to do something about it.
I'm not, absolutely, I completely agree with you. That's their job, isn't it, to protect the citizens?
At the moment, the numbers right now are crazy. I mean, I don't want lockdown. I mean, I work in construction.
Well, let's talk about the numbers, right? And how we come to these numbers, these 1,205 cases, which is the highest number, by the way, since we've had the high numbers back in kind of May, April and March, right? And realistically, we have to look at what it is. We're now doing probably four or five times as much testing as we were doing then. Thankfully, our mortality rate is four or five times lower. So yes, something is not adding up in the sense that either the virus is suddenly weakened, which is not the case, either that or the virus is suddenly attacking younger people, which is less of a risk, which is certainly not the case either. So surely the case is that we're just testing more people, so we're getting more results.
Maybe so, yeah. Look, obviously we have to take care more of the elderly people, and just. But I think, like, what they're saying about people having to cocoon completely and not move from their house, I don't think that's going to be literally practiced by everybody. I think that everyone's going to be just, to be fair,
they haven't said people not to leave their home. They said, if you don't need to go to work, don't go to work, and they encourage people not to work from home who can work from home. But you're, let's say, for example, if you're a daughter with three kids, you're not allowed to have your mam over to see her grandkids. You know, even if she's a young grandmother, by the way, she's not allowed over. You're not allowed to have your sister over for a coffee, for a chat. And at these times, talking is very important. Talk, they call it talk therapy, you know, for human beings. We're not allowed any of that.
But I mean, when you're saying not allowed, is it actually law, or they're just encouraging?
It's guidelines, isn't it? Nothing is really in law. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, we go right back to the lockdown, by the way, there was nothing legally stopping anybody going more than 3 or 2 kilometres or 5 kilometres. Yeah. There was their guidelines.
Yeah, which means their recommendations. Look, they're just trying to get people to stop moving around as much. I'm not defending the government. I don't think they're doing the proper job, but at the end of the day, they're agreeing to the whole thing. This has never been seen before. I mean, no matter what they do, they're going to be pissing someone off. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think what they're trying to do is get people to decrease their movement unless it's necessary. I mean, if you have to go to, obviously, if you need to talk to somebody or you need to, you feel you need to get out of your house and go for a walk and meet a friend, and if you met a cop and he asked you where you're going, I think he'd understand, listen, go ahead what you're doing, but just try not to meet too many people if you can.
But I heard Stephen Donnelly answering questions today, and people were sending in questions, like, and one mother said, you know, my son is in college in Galway, can he come home for the weekend? And he said no.
Well, I would recommend that to, anyway, I mean, he's in Galway, he's a student. I'd imagine that a lot of these numbers are climbing in student cities, because students are congregating, even though their bars and things and nightclubs aren't open, they're still getting together for house parties, back to the old argument.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how things are moving. I mean, I'm in here in Kerry, and Listowel at the moment, I think, is in a spot of bother. And there's a lot of things closed down, their hotels closed down, and the hardware shops. But I mean, they're blaming the Listowel races. Even though the races themselves were behind closed doors, there were still a lot of people gathering around the time the pubs were open. So there was no one breaking any laws, but a lot of people came around the area. But people are just doing too much moving around. I mean,
but isn't there a limit to, as human beings? I mean, look, don't get me wrong. We went through a lockdown for four or five months there.
Of course.
But isn't there not a limit as human beings, you know, because we are social creatures as a species? And by the way, there's great research that's been done on, you know, social isolation for primates and human beings and how damaging it can be to our, not only our mental health, but our physical health as well, surprisingly enough. But I mean, there's a limit to what or how much we can cooperate with these kind of restrictions as human beings. Is there not?
But I don't think that they're asking people to go down the route of what they're saying. I think they just want to...
I think they are.
Relax, if people stop moving around as much as they are, even though they're putting down a strict guideline.
But I think people are. I know for a fact that I myself and most people I know have limited their amount of contact. Well, mind you, I'm not a very social creature. I wouldn't have a load of contacts anyway. I could tell you, I've probably, you know, been in contact with, in the last 6 months, I've probably been in contact with the most about 10 people. And that's because there's very few people working in the radio station because most people are working from home. And there's myself and there's Aisling and there's assistant producer Sarah as well. And then I'd have my partner, my kids. And that's about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but I mean, there's very few people in my social circle. And I think most people have reduced that. I normally would be going on holidays. We'd be having listener parties. So, you know, we'd normally have a much bigger social circle. You know, most people have done what's been required of them. Most people have.
Of course. But there again, like I said, there are people still getting together in different, for different events.
But how far, but how far can you take that? Can you, what, wrap us up in a bubble or something? I mean, how far can you take it?
I agree. I mean, I think we need to live with it, but I think we need to just take care of the elderly people more so.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. And there's lots of ways we could do that which are not being done at the moment. For example, there's antigen tests out there which are available which can test people in 5 minutes. Why don't we have them in every care home for every member of staff every morning?
Yeah.
You know, it costs you, those tests cost about 20 quid. If there's five nurses going into a care home in the morning or six, test each one of them. It takes about 2 or 3 minutes to get a result. It's 97% accurate. And do it every single morning. Why not do that? But we're not doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're not doing the obvious things. I mean, we didn't close the borders. We left people come into the country from outside. I mean, the time of that Italian match that was supposed to be on there, the Italian fans came over in their droves because they had tickets and everything booked.
I get all that. And I, you know, Cheltenham and all that kind of carry on. I get all that. But listen, if Cheltenham or the Italian match that weekend that was cancelled, if that didn't happen, it would have got in some other way anyway. Because we had tourists coming into the country anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and if you look at the cases at the moment, and they released today some, you know, statistics in relation to, you know, track and trace and where the cases are coming from. Very few cases are actually coming into the airport or the borders. Most of it's happening in the family home. In other words, you go off to work, you go off out, you catch it, go home to your home, and you give it to your kids or you give it to your missus. That's the way it's happening. And that can't ever be prevented.
If that's the case, you're actually backing up the government's argument.
No, but what I'm saying is that can't be prevented unless you tell people when you get home to your missus and kids, you know, you wrap yourself in cotton wool and sanitise yourself coming in the door. You know what I mean? I mean, how are you going to stop that from happening? You can't. Is it not a case scientifically that we listen to some other experts who are saying we have to let this happen? We just have to let it happen and protect and focus our protection on those we believe are most at risk.
Yes, I agree.
Now, can I 100%. Come in for a second there?
Yeah, please. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, hello, Tom.
Hello.
Yes, so just, Tom, I work in a large retail store, right? I'm a delivery driver, but I'm in contact with most of the staff. Now, there's 160 staff there. I know one person. We've been told one person has had tested positive, and that was way back in April. And, you know, so what I'm saying is, if this virus is so deadly dangerous, and I know it has to be taken seriously, I'm not, there's only a fool would say that any different, but if it's so deadly dangerous, why haven't every one of us been out sequited? And then if it's not that case, well then what's all the big alarm about?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
Now my son works in a plant, in a meat factory with over 800 people in it, and they've had two people that have been sent home since March. Now, there's regular testing there as well, so I'm not sure about the narrative. You see, we have a narrative from RTE about what's happening, and I'm sorry to ask a very uncomfortable question to everybody, but how can we trust the HSE's figures? Do we take that as absolute, or why are we running with this narrative, and we're being spoon-fed about what's happening, and we're not allowed to ask our important questions?
I think, to be fair, that the HSE's figures and the figures they give are accurate. But what I will add a caveat to that, and I'll say that I'm not suggesting they manipulate the figures, but the definitions that they use for figures. And I'll give you an example. We asked the HSE under the Freedom of Information last week, we sent a request to them here at the radio station, the show, so to say, to clarify in relation to, at the time, there was 130 people in hospital or admissions with COVID-19. How many of those 30 people were in hospital for COVID-19 and how many were in for other reasons but happened to test positive for COVID-19, i.e. I break my leg tomorrow, I go into hospital for 4 days. While I'm in there, would be the case now at the moment, everybody's been tested. I get tested. I'm tested positive, but I don't even know I have it. I'm asymptomatic, but I'm still in there for a broken leg. Yeah. Am I now a COVID admission? And the answer seems to be yes, I am.
Yeah.
And we asked them to clarify what percentage of those would be actually in there for observation for COVID-19 versus in there for another reason but happened to have COVID-19, and they said they wouldn't give us those figures. So I think those figures and that transparency, for example, when people die and when people pass away, I don't want to know the people's names and addresses or where they're from. I think that's not important and it's none of our business under data protection. But I think for transparency, it's important to tell us how old they are. Not that every life, by the way, is not valuable. Of course they are. But yeah, I think I think it is fair to know if somebody is 95 rather than 25.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also important to know, did they have a critical underlying condition? In other words, was COVID the cause of their death or was something else the cause of their death?
Died with COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think those kind of figures are really, really important. First, to get a better understanding of how dangerous the virus is. But unfortunately, we don't really seem to get those kind of things. We're just told.
Well, then you'd have to ask questions about that, wouldn't you?
Well, like, when you ask questions like that, you're seeing as being, I suppose, insensitive. Is it what you're being you told?
You're rattling cages.
But when you listen to violence on radio shows, the national radio shows, call...
Tommy, your line is just speak into your speaker or microphone there again.
When you guys ring Donald at his office and ask to speak to him, and I know he refuses you, but what answer,
we've sent
he won't talk to the likes of you.
Well, we've sent numerous emails to Stephen Donnelly. Stephen Donnelly, by the way, before he was Minister for Health, he was spokesperson for Health for Fianna Fáil. We had him on the air many times because he was quite willing to come on and give out about Simon Harris at the time. And geez, I couldn't get him off the air. But anyway, as soon as he became Minister of Health, and I always said, by the way, I liked Stephen Donnelly. I thought he was a good man, and I thought he was, it seemed sincere. And as soon as he became Minister of Health, we sent numerous emails to his office, and every single one of them, we'll see what we can do next week. We'll see, and it just never came to pass. And it got to a point where we just said, are we wasting our time? And they said,
And just going back to the old argument about how ministers get in place, what are his qualifications? I mean, is he qualifications in medicine or?
No, exactly. I don't think Stephen Donnelly's any qualifications.
No, I don't think he has. No.
I mean, wouldn't that
and
be
that's
more
another question? That
has I'm not going to hold that against Stephen Donnelly. I mean, there's a lot of ministers. You know, you've had ministers for finances who weren't accountants. You know, you have ministers for housing who weren't builders. You know, so I mean,
Simon Harris is minister for higher education and he didn't finish his degree.
Because the thing about it is, these ministers, you know, they're good delegators. That's all you have to be a minister, is a good delegator, because you have other people working with you. But say that we're going off the topic a little bit. Let me just go to Sheila as well. Sheila, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sheila?
Hello, Niall.
Sheila, will you be following the guideline of nobody to your house?
I've a pain in me hoo-ha.
Oh, that's an interesting place to have a pain.
A hoo-ha?
I didn't even know I had a hoo-ha.
But you have one now, yeah.
Yeah. No, I have a 10-year-old grandchild, and she was 10 in April, and I went by the rules, and I brought her down her birthday presents, and I put them at the front door, and I said hi from a distance.
Yeah.
And I work in the school now, and I tell you, I don't think the government are coping with this at all.
Okay, so will you be... are you living on your own or are you living with somebody else?
No, I live with my husband.
Okay, so it's just the two of you, is it?
Yeah, my husband and son.
Okay.
But I have to say, I don't care. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm fed up.
And what about, you know, the government are saying we have to get this under control, the test numbers, you know, the positive case numbers are going higher and higher.
Eight months later, Niall. Like, I don't think they're doing this right. I really don't. I have a pain in me.
Hoo ha.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I can't do it anymore. I'm fed up now.
Have you got a bit of a cough there? Sorry.
That wasn't me.
Oh, sorry. Who was that coughing?
Me, Tom.
I hope you're isolating there, Tom.
I'm inside the Jeep, I got it.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I can't cope with this anymore. I'm not doing it again. Like, I have to go up and collect my granddaughter and bring her home.
Yeah.
Do it right. She's obviously, you know, mixing with people.
With other kids, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But, like, what do you do? Let the child walk home on her own?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people don't make an awful lot of sense of the argument. And somebody was mentioned today, actually, that their daughter was meant to have their friend over tomorrow night. And she said she can be with her friend all day in school, but she's not allowed to be with her friend in her house.
Yep, madness.
And that just, it's completely hypocritical and it just doesn't make any sense. Let me just go to Kate as well. Kate, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Kate? Oh, sorry, Kate, I need to turn you on. Hang on, Kate. You can take three there if you want, Ash. Kate?
Hi, Nine. How are you?
Hey, Kate, nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, love you. Lovely to talk to you as well. Sorry, I'm just finishing up work here, trying to get home to my own kids. But I was listening to the conversation Oh God, this herd immunity again really just wrecks my head for another reason. Just listening to Paul Reid from the HSE today.
Yep.
And this, you know, after literally how many of the hospital staff are out sick,
yep,
due to COVID-19 or self isolating.
Mm-hmm.
This is another reason that we can't go for herd immunity.
Because we just don't have enough hospital staff to deal with people that are going into hospital.
And you're saying it yourself every day of the week. I'm listening to you as to how bad our health system is.
But it's always been bad. Before COVID-19, it was bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're taking the brunt. I mean, could you imagine if 2 years ago, the 2017-2018 flu season was really bad in Ireland, okay?
Yeah.
And the health service was on its knees. And even last year, Leo Varadkar was begging nurses and doctors not to go home for Christmas. Do you remember that? He was telling them not to go on holidays and others.
I do.
Yeah, so our health service, right since Micheál Martin was the health minister, actually going back a long time ago, has been a mess. We've had Mary Harney, we've had James Riley, we've had Leo Varadkar as health minister. We've had them all there as health minister at one point. And it's been a disaster every single year. Yeah. We've people on trolleys, we've people... Right. Now, can you imagine at that time... No, I'm asking you a question. Could you imagine, forget about COVID for a second, going back, when we had those problems every single year in between sort of November and February, if the government had said, listen, we can't control the problem in the hospital, so I'll tell you what, we'll just all stay at home so you don't get sick. We'd have told them to feck off.
Story, and this had nothing to do with COVID or with COVID-19, and it was in the month of July, and it was only 5 years ago. Sorry, it was 9 years ago. My sister-in-law was above in Dublin, or above in Donegal, dying. My mum and dad were up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was inside in the CUH with an ectopic pregnancy.
Okay.
2 days, they could get no. 2 days, they could get no. Emergency theatre to give me my surgery.
So you had to wait 2 days?
2 days.
To get emergency surgery. The point is, that's what we're up against with the health service in Ireland.
And that was 9 years ago, Niall.
Okay.
That was 9 years ago. I was blessed that I had been a patient of a gynaecologist in the Bonds who was a consultant in the CUH at that time. He knew my history. He had several arguments with the whoever they were, the ward sisters, whatever, trying to get me a bed, an emergency theatre, because my stomach was growing bigger and bigger, and that was due to blood loss. It was blood that was actually
seeping
into my abdominal cavity.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, and I remember he having an argument with the ward sister. She came into my room, or he came into me, and he said to me, will you get your husband to phone your insurance company to see will they cover that surgery and the bond occurs?
It was lucky you had the insurance, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I did that and they said, yeah,
okay,
if the UMH can't cover it, we will do that. The ward sister came in. She threw my file at me. Niall, I was very, very unwell. I didn't have my husband with me because he's self-employed. So I was on my own. My mum and dad were in Donegal with my sister-in-law that was dying, my brother's wife.
And I'm sorry, by the way, your sister-in-law, did she pass away?
She did, the creator, she did.
Oh, sorry about that, sorry about that.
She did.
No, I don't mean to rush you to the story, and by the way, that story is a very interesting story in relation to the incompetence of our health service, and I completely agree with you. But that's only one part of the question, so to speak, Kate. You know, the government now, because of the incompetence of the health service, obviously want people to restrict their lives and their movements more, and they don't want you to have any visitors to your home. So... Will you be complying with that?
No. And I did have a conversation with you on Monday night.
Yep.
About my son and all the rest. No.
Yep.
Not this time. No.
So you feel you've done enough?
I did. You know what, Niall? I know what I need to do to protect me and my family, and that's and it's worked today, and we're doing it.
Okay.
But no, I'm not.
Would you have people to your home? I mean, would your sister or brother or father or mother or anybody come to your home?
No. And even when I call mum and dad, I don't go into their home.
Okay. But if you do want someone coming to your home, you'll be doing it anyway.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, so you will be complying, is the point.
they come into my garden.
They can come into your garden. Well, according to the guidelines, you're not even allowed to let them in your garden.
Okay, well, yeah,
I don't know who's going to police that, by the way. I can't see on Garda Síochána Connor coming and whipping people out of your front garden, by the way.
You know what, Niall? They're delusional. The government is delusional. I I've always had a huge interest in politics and government, but oh my God, I'm at the stage now where I'm just look, I'm going to just do what suits me and my family.
Okay, so you'll take your own safety precautions, your own precautions, and you won't be told by anybody else what you should and shouldn't do.
No, I know what I need to do. I know what
okay,
I need
so
to
you
do.
Okay, so you're going to take personal responsibility. Yeah, okay. I get that, and yeah, a lot of people are saying
100%,
that.
100%, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 100% responsibility, but you know, one thing I do have a little bit of an issue with, or not an issue with, but I think something that people do need to listen to is oh God, without quoting Ronan Lynn or Tony Hulhan, but it is in all our hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do what we need to do for our own families to protect each other.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't generally disagree with that. I think that's probably right.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's pointless come Christmas when people turn around and say, oh, do you know what, the government has us all locked down and they're blaming the government. It's not the government. It's just people needing.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. I want to just go to Niall as well. Niall, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing now?
Good evening, Niall. How are you?
Niall, I mean, I'm looking, at people's reactions to this, and you know, a lot of people are saying, and we've had two or three callers already tonight saying, listen, I've done all the guidelines. I followed all the rules up to now, but this is just like a step too far. I can't even have someone in my front garden or someone over to my house. My mother can't even call to have a cup of tea, or my sister can't come over to help me with the baby. And they just think it's a step too far.
Yeah, I can understand a lot of people that way. Look, I'm going to do the best that I can. Like, if someone calls your house, what are you going to do? Tell them, run them away?
Well, that's what the government would like you to do, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm not that type of person that would do that. Now, I can manage with the lockdown. My problem would be the financial side of things.
Okay.
Like I work for myself.
Yeah.
I stayed at home for 4 or 5 months. And during that time, it cost me $1,500 a month to stay at home. Now, I did get the POP payment.
Yeah.
While it was, I was very grateful to get that. But on top of that, with all my bills and my mortgage,
When you say you're very grateful to get it, it wasn't your idea to stay out of work for 1,500 a month. So you shouldn't have been grateful to get it. You know, the government should be grateful that you accommodated them by taking the time off work.
Yeah,
okay, wrong terminology, we'll say,
yeah,
that I use there. But if you understand what I'm saying, but it still costs me another $1,500 per month to stay at home.
Yeah.
At this stage, I can't afford that anymore. I have to go out and work. But the way things are gone now, I still won't make it. But I could be out there 14, 15 hours a day trying to make $500-$600 a week to try and keep things.
Can I ask you what you do for a living? Are you a taxi driver?
I am indeed.
Okay, all right, okay.
And I would be down 50, 60% of my wages at the moment.
I get that.
You know? And there'll be a lot of other self-employed, not just me, other self-employed people
that are
that way and that have big mortgages and can't afford to pay them. And we'll be in a situation where some people will be losing their houses over this. And that's where the stress and worry is really, really going to come into it.
Yeah, I don't think we've really seen the mental health problems or the stress or the worry or the financial loss yet.
No.
That's but coming down the track.
It's coming, and unfortunately, if this goes on into level 4, level 5, it's going to come a lot faster than people think. Now, and as I said in my text to you, I would love to see these politicians that are all there and, you know, it's in our hands. We're in it together. We're not in it together at 300 euros a week. If some guy is on 250 grand a year, I'm sorry, there's a big blunder.
Well, Leo Varadkar did make the point that if NPHET and public sector workers who were making all these plans had to live on 300 quid put payment a week, they wouldn't be making these plans.
No, they wouldn't. They might come up with a solution a lot plenty quicker than what they're at.
And I don't want to make this about public-private sector, but we're not in it together because the public sector are not financially losing out.
Their big jobs and their degrees.
That's a bit unfair. Not just the big jobs. I mean, you know, nurses, doctors, guards, teachers, they all still get full pay, no matter what happens. Their jobs are safe, no matter what happens. It's the private sector which is on its knees. Their jobs are in jeopardy. They've no financial stability anymore. Or they could lose their jobs. Public sector workers are not going to lose their jobs.
No, that's it. You know, what happens then?
So we're not in it together.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, we're not. No, and as you said, I don't want to meet this public-private. I'm not. you know, if someone has studied and got on in life and got a big job,
yeah,
I clap on the back. I'm delighted for them. I am not a person that would try and give a deed to a person that made a good job of their life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If a person gets, and same way if a person hasn't studied and opens up a business and gets on in life, fair dues to them. I'm delighted for them. I'm not a begrudging type of person whatsoever. You know, I would always try to have a good outlook on life. But I think coming down the road, we could have a lot of problems financially and mental problems. Mental stress problems, if you want to.
I wouldn't even use the word could. I think we will. There's no could about it.
As I said, I'm a positive outlook.
Fair play to you.
Trying to be as best I can.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, thanks for that. Let me go to Dave as well. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Dave? Dave, are you there? Oh, have I lost Dave? Dave, are you there, Dave?
Oh?
Oh, yeah, you're there. Sorry, there you are now. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, okay. Dave, will you be following the guideline of not having any visitors to your home at all?
Well, you see, yes, we will, but obviously I work away, so I'm travelling between Scotland, England, Wales and back over to Ireland every week. But yeah,
how does that work? How does that work, by the way? Because according to the guidelines, you're meant to self isolate coming from the UK, from mainland UK into Ireland. So yeah. How does that work for you?
Yeah, so I'm only in Dublin during the weekend. So I get off the ferry and then I come back to the house and basically I'm here for the weekend.
Okay, and then you're back on the ferry again. Then
and then Sunday I'm back on the ferry. I go to Wales, I travel through Wales. Travel into England, up to Scotland, work in Scotland for 3 days. On the way back, I call in. I've got some young children in England, so I call in, see my children, and then back over to Ireland.
I'm not going to judge you or have a go at you, but I know there's people listening who are saying you're breaking the guidelines. Because the guidelines say if you come from mainland UK, you're meant to self-isolate for 14 days.
Yeah.
And obviously not leave the country again. For 14 days. I don't know. That's a bit of a complicated one, really, isn't it? Yeah.
If you're here,
I mean, you have to work. I understand you have to go to work. Yeah.
If you're here for 14 days, you've got to isolate for 14 days, and they're the guidelines. But I'm not here for 14 days. I'm here for 3 days.
So how does that? So there's no problem with you going back and forward.
No, there's absolutely no problem.
And time you come into Ireland, do you have to fill out a form again?
I do. Yeah, I fill out the passenger locator form, and it says if you're leaving within 14 days, what is the date you're leaving on?
Okay.
And so you just fill that in, and then it's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
And do you literally stay in the house? You don't go to the shop, or?
No. I literally stay in the house, to be honest, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because there's absolutely nothing to do at the minute anyway, isn't
there? Well, there is very little to do at all. But Dave, so the guidelines are tough enough, and they do affect you somewhat, because obviously you can't leave the house now at the weekends. But I mean, this idea now, not only can you not leave the house, but you can't even invite someone over to your garden or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Will that affect you?
Not in this weather now, to be honest. It's getting a bit cold now, isn't it?
I'm going to see us all having Christmas dinner out on the road, to be honest with you, at this stage, because we're not even allowed meals in the garden now.
Yeah, I mean, the only point I was going to come on and make now, to be honest, was just to demonstrate, because I work over in the UK and I work in the construction industry, we've never been stopped from travelling. They would not close the construction industry for love nor money.
Mm.
So they made us all go to work during the lockdown. So it's never really affected me in the fact that I've not been able to travel. I've still been able to see my kids, because you can travel to go and see young children when you split up and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
It's not really affected me, apart from when I come back to Ireland and then, you know, I've got to self-isolate.
I mean, I know when the lockdown finished here and construction came back open again in Ireland, there was a few cases in some of the construction sites, and they started doing a lot of testing and tracing on the construction sites, and all of a sudden we were seeing construction sites closing left, right and centre. And I think there was a decision made at some point, let's stop testing them on construction sites because we can't afford to keep closing them. And all of a sudden, they weren't being tested anymore on construction sites because the government figured we'd lose too much money here to the economy if they close them all down.
Oh, yeah.
So it just goes to show you how this thing works, because if you don't test people, you won't find people positive. And by the way, I haven't heard of anybody in a construction site dying of COVID-19.
No, I mean,
now, maybe I could be wrong, but I haven't heard of one. I think we would have heard something about it.
I've not heard of one at all. I mean, I've heard of a few.
Yeah, I know we don't get a job description of people dying, you know, but I think you might have heard of a construction site closing if somebody had died on it or something. Maybe not. But anyway, the point is, they suddenly stopped testing on construction sites when they seen how badly it was affecting construction.
Yeah.
And the same happened, by the way, with the meatpacking industry. You know, they started testing and going mad with their tests, and then they suddenly stopped it again.
Yeah, for example, over in the UK, at the start of this pandemic and the lockdown, a lot of their subcontractors made the decision to furlough the staff, which brought some construction projects to a sort of standstill.
Mm-hmm.
So the government then went away and revised the guidelines for construction to say we could work close together and things to bring people back to work.
Well, they knew it wasn't going to be, there was not going to be no construction if they didn't do that. That was the problem.
So they actually changed the rules for construction, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. Listen, I get the point you're making. They bring in the rules, I suppose, to suit each different industry to make sure the economy keeps moving, because if it doesn't, we're all in trouble. They'll have no money to pay for health service. Paul, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Paul?
Hey, Noel. How are you?
Paul, you have a brother with special needs, is it?
I do. He's special needs, and he's brain damaged the past 8 years through an accident in one of the hospitals. So we care for him. Well, there's only myself, my mother, and my sister who are carers.
Okay.
For him, and I've been caring for him throughout this pandemic. I mean, it really hasn't affected me from seeing my mother or my brother and that. I'm out there all the time, but I work on the front line. Well, not on the front line as a nurse or a doctor, but I'm in that area type of thing. And I've seen this pandemic firsthand and seen how dangerous it actually is. But having said that, I've still gone to do my caring times with my brother and my mother, and I'll continue to do so, and I won't stop people coming.
Well, I think, by the way, he did make exceptions last night for providing care for children or elderly or vulnerable people. So that's within the guidelines, you know.
Yeah.
And they said extenuating circumstances or compassionate circumstances.
Oh, within level five, even we're in level five, lockdown for the first few months of this, 5 months of this, or whatever it was. I continue to do it anyway.
Of course you would.
Hell or high water was going to stop me doing that.
Oh, no, it's wild. If it was me, wild dogs wouldn't stop me.
Absolutely. And, you know, the guards are fine when you're stopped. You just tell them where you're going, what you're doing. Off you go, no problem at all. But this is off the wall ridiculous. Again, you know, stopping people from seeing their loved ones. I could never understand why people actually stopped. You know, we understood in the start people didn't know what this was and didn't know the dangers and that. And people
we've a better understanding of it now.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to play it down, but it's not as dangerous as we first thought. Now, don't get me wrong, and my condolences to people who have died from it, but we do have a better understanding of who it seems to target specifically.
Yeah.
And they're the people we need to focus our protections on.
Exactly. Absolutely. And as you said, if everyone is, you know, doing their part, you know, washing their hands, keeping themselves protected and everything else, and keeping doing what we're supposed to be doing as individuals, why should we stop seeing our loved ones? Why should the government bring out this? And
I never thought I would hear the day that a government would tell you can't visit your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or your son can't come home to his own home. I never thought I'd hear the day when I'd hear a government say that.
Yeah, but you know what, Noel? It's only a recommendation. They're not telling us you can't, because I won't be obeying them. I'm certainly not obeying them. And I do obey the government. I'm supposed to obey my government, but I am not obeying this because it's wrong. And I heard that chap on your radio station only last week, the chap who's AA meeting said stop. And I touched my heart, as a lot of people's heart be touched on that. You know,
can
you imagine what this will do to that chap and people like him?
He described his colleagues in the AA meeting as his family.
Absolutely.
And they are, you know, they are his family, you know, and I get that. It.
And the only outlet that they had, like, you know, for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say to people, no, you can't say this, but I'll say it, to people not to be afraid, go out and do whatever you want, see your loved ones, have loved ones into your house. This is only a recommendation. It's not the law. You won't be fined. You will not be arrested. It's a recommendation from NPHET or, you know, the HSE. It is not law.
To be honest with you, Paul, I have to follow that with, I need to encourage people to follow the guidelines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. They are only guidelines, but they're only guidelines now. And I'd be the first person, I wouldn't be the type of person to break the law. I'm totally anti-breaking the law.
But I think you have to, when it comes to compassion and dealing with people, particularly when it comes to mental health, if somebody's living on their own, for example, and I would say this, by the way, if you're living on your own, and you are suffering from mental health problems, anxiety, due to the lockdown, due to being lonely and feeling isolated, I would much rather you break the guideline and go and visit somebody and talk to somebody before you would do anything silly.
Absolutely.
And, yes, and I think that's really important to tell people that the guideline, as you rightly said, is a guideline. But if you were in a very desperate situation, you need to visit somebody, you visit somebody. It's important Definitely. That you do that. And you yes. don't take that as being literal.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, thanks, Paul. I have to wrap it up. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.